This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There it is. There we go. Happy Friday to you all. Is it a Red Friday?
That might as well be, right? It's Brett Veach Town Friday, and we're going to be playing Brett Veach Town in every break today until Spectre gives us real music back.
Oh, I think I like the generic music.
we're gonna go ahead and do it. We're playing Brett Veach Town, baby, because we got Josh Simmons last night, and Binkley is not a happy camper. I guarantee you, Binkley is not a happy camper. He did not want this guy.
You guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Do we have the Binkley audio from last night? Oh, please let me hear
Who's
how Jay Binkley sounded.
Binkley or Drew?
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
All right. That's it. There you go.
I mean, that's how we get started. I mean, for weeks, Jay Binkley has been talking about how much he hates Josh Simmons and doesn't like the pick if the Chiefs were to go that route. Brett Veach never goes to Ohio State, never takes, you know, Big Ten guys. And he did all that last night Josh Simmons pick, which everybody on ESPN, which I was watching by the time we got home from the landing last night. Congratulations to the folks at the Landing Pub and Eatery. It is a combination of both. They did a nice job last night with us up there. So I want to thank those guys and all the folks up there who came out and supported us and, you know, were there. The place was packed. It was awesome. It was great. We had a wonderful time. And then the Chiefs took the only guy that Jay Binkley didn't want. And everybody on ESPN was like fawning all over this pick. I'm looking at the draft grades this morning, and they're all A's, A-, A+, the Chiefs, and Binkley still sitting at the landing, despondent that they drafted this guy.
Somebody needs to, like, go to the internet and replace Tom Brady's face with Binkley's face, where he's sitting on the Super Bowl field just, like, bummed out before Richard Sherman comes to shake his hand.
Yeah, right.
And just have Brett Veach's face where Richard Sherman's helmet is.
But that's a good pick. I mean, it really is. They traded down. They get a pick in the fifth round, which did they not have any fifth round draft picks, right? Was that the...
No fifth, no sixth.
So they got a fifth round draft pick out of the deal because Philadelphia thought somebody was going to jump the Chiefs and take that linebacker guy that they drafted. And so they wanted to move ahead to make sure they got their guy, and they kicked in a fifth round pick, and you do it, and you still get a very good, who some people are saying the best offensive tackle in the...
People are saying
the best offensive tackle in the draft, and if he was healthy...
Very good.
He would have been a top 10 pick. And the Chiefs got him at number 32. And I love the pick. I am a huge fan of the pick because it fills a future need that this team is going to have. It just told you right then and there, Jawan Taylor will not be part of this operation after this season. And Josh Simmons is your future. Whether you put him at left tackle and move Jalen Moore to right tackle, or you put him at right tackle, you keep Jalen Moore at left tackle, depending how it all plays out. It's a perfect pick for the Chiefs, man. It really is.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, like, I don't really have, like, any negative to say about it. My first and original thought process on this pick is, like, the whole theory of, like, it must be nice.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs have done so well in draft in the past, and they have, you know, pieces. And I know there's, like, a lot of people that are indifferent about Jalen Moore. There's a lot of people that are indifferent about Kingsley and Caliendo at the left guard position. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is a left tackle for the future. And my first original take was, I know that this is going to sound like Debbie Downer and it's going to sound like, you know, Dusty, this, how can you have this thought process? But it is true. Mahomes will be 30 years old this year.
That's right.
Simmons is what, 23?
Yeah.
So if he is your future at left tackle, by the time that you're ready to lock him up as your offensive line piece, which would be the third of the wall of Patrick Mahomes, where you will have Smith and Humphrey as well, mm-hmm. you will now have this young kid in Simmons, who at the time in 5 years, if he has that contract that goes that far, or if he gets it before, props to him. But either way, he's 26, 27, 28. Mm-hmm. Mahomes at that point, then Bob is 34, 35.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, but the days of him having to do these scrambles and these Mahomes magic moments won't be there. He'll have to change his style up and be more of a drop back passer, step back, read and rhythm type of thrower. And when you have a guy that maybe you drafted at 32 that slipped in the draft because of injury scare, who should have been a top 10 pick, you now all of a sudden have your future left tackle that will be there for Mahomes' blind side when he's no longer doing the magic moments. You will have your battery mate in Creed Humphrey. You'll have your right guard. Right tackle is a very easily foundable position, if I want to say, right, when it comes to the offensive line. And as well, I would say left guard. So when you put all this together, my first thought is this is a future pick. And the backside of the must be nice is the fact that the Chiefs were basically already set up to start moving forward in the 2025 season, that these picks that were coming in, whether it would have been the fan favorite in Luther Burden,
right,
he's still probably going to start off as your fourth option. Mm-hmm. Juju's probably in the first half of the season going to get more reps than him, and then he would ease in. If this is the same role with Josh Simmons, he's not going to be ready by about week six, week seven, if things go drastically terrible for one of the edge guys, then all of a sudden he starts to move in. So that cancels each other out. Is Luther Burden the exciting name because of Mizzou and offense?
Sure.
Absolutely. Is Josh Simmons maybe the future at the left side for Patrick Mahomes, who at one day won't do all the improvisation? I'm good either way, and I don't mind the pick whatsoever.
Yeah, I love the pick, and I like the long-term thinking by you as well on that one, because as you're starting to kind of go through the names, I'm like, this may be the last guy that they draft to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side. And quite honestly, let's knock on wood here and hope that this is the last guy that they draft to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side. And so, you know, I think it's a good pick because he doesn't have to play right away. He gets that opportunity to kind of figure things out a little bit and heal from that injury. And if he goes on to become a star left tackle in this league, like we've seen, you know, the Hall of Famers, like immediately I go to Orlando Pace because he played left tackle at Ohio State. And was
God, if he's Orlando Pace, I mean, you can give Mahomes three.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, right? Like if he turns out to be anywhere near Orlando Pace, this will go down as the second best draft pick of the Brett Veach era behind Patrick Mahomes, because this guy will be a mainstay there on that offensive line. And so I just love the pick because they need that position. They need it for the future. He's a guy that was injured that fell, so you're getting great value out of him at that position, and hopefully he solves that need that, quite frankly, guys, we've been looking for the last 5 years. There was a graphic yesterday by FanDuel that they put up and said, you know, 2013 draft, the worst of all time, and I quote tweeted it. I'm like, Eric Fisher was a damn good player for 7 to 8 years here in Kansas City. They got basically two full contracts out of Eric Fisher. He more than doubled the average lifespan of an NFL player here, was really good at that left tackle position. And since he left, we've been trying to figure out who's going to play that left tackle position. Hopefully we solve that yesterday by getting Josh Simmons, and he becomes the guy for the foreseeable future, however long that is, to be that guy who plays that left tackle spot. So I absolutely love this pick by the Chiefs, and I know Binkley's going to hate it, and he seemingly is the only one who doesn't like this pick right now for this organization. It seems like everybody nationally loves it. Everybody locally loves it. I think Chiefs fans are kind of in unison. They love this pick right now. So we'll see. Maybe Binkley knows something we all don't know, but it seems like this is overwhelming. I can't remember the last time a pick was like overwhelmingly loved by everybody, because usually your first instinct is, oh, I don't like that pick, right? But everybody's like, yes, man, I love this pick. Fans, national media, draft experts, everybody is in favor of this pick.
I like it also because it creates in-house competition.
Yeah, it does.
And I think in-house competition is something that is very, very valuable for teams. I don't mean that these guys need to go out there and, you know, fisticuffs each other, but it's more so like, okay, Jalen Moore was signed in the offseason, and his whole career so far, he's been behind an all-pro left tackle. He's like, when am I going to get my shot?
Right.
Kansas City went and got me. That was a need of their team. They went and trusted me as a backup to a guy who's been an all-pro, Pro Bowler, badass at left tackle, and now I'm going to get my shot. The Chiefs drafted an offensive tackle who they think is going to be a left tackle in the future, but they signed me.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Okay, I gotta figure my stuff out. You know, the hell with this. Then there's the right side. And there's the guy that is the most penalized player in the NFL, according to some.
Right.
Maybe that's true. I don't know for a fact on that.
He gets about one a game.
Right. Yeah. That's what the text line seems to think. And he's now on a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
And we could all sit here and probably have a high percentage of, do we believe Juwan Taylor will be with this team next year? The answer is probably no.
Probably no.
But, hey, man, like, if you can't hack it, we're going to put this rookie in at right tackle to give him reps to see what he's about by week 6 or 7 or 8, if whenever he's fully ready to go, maybe earlier than that. Or Juwan Taylor's going to look like the right tackle that we went and signed out of Jacksonville. And he's going to be that guy because he knows that he's got to play and perform, because the contract may not come from Brett Veach and Clark Hunt.
Right.
But it may come from some other franchise. It's like, you know what? He played really well. We know the Chiefs aren't going to sign him. When negotiation periods and tampering can begin, we're going to go try to get Juwan Taylor to be our right tackle. And it's like, okay, it worked out perfectly. And you kind of have that, again, must be nice mentality, because you can fall back on that. And if he is this tackle that they think that he is, that fell deeply because of injury, and it turns out to be one of these sneaky, like you said, here we go again, Brett Veach walking out the door with a smile on his face and the wind blowing his beautiful hair.
Right.
You're like, damn it, the dude did it again.
He did it again, yeah. And I know people are giving Howie Roseman all the credit in the world for drafting, you know, the linebacker, but that's the same type of situation for Josh Simmons. That, you know, that dude that they picked at number 31 has been banged up as well, and they're like, he doesn't have to play right away. He can rest and heal up and get his shoulder fixed, and that's another it must be nice type of scenario.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Chiefs and the Eagles and all these other teams that are these good teams, the Buffaloes of the world, not Cincinnati, their ass, all of the good teams in the NFL have worked hard to be in this position, to set themselves up to be where they are right now. And that's in the, well, it must be nice position to be able to not have to draft for a need. I mean, look at what the Giants had to do yesterday and trade back into the first round to get a quarterback. Look at Pittsburgh yesterday.
Who did the Giants select their pick in
Jackson
the first round?
Jackson Dart.
So, well, oh, okay. Just making sure.
Why?
He lost a bet.
Oh, he did? Did he lose a bet?
We're going to Applebee's.
Oh.
That's all I know.
Well, who's really winning there? but the Giants, you got to trade back in for a quarterback. Pittsburgh, we'll get into that here in a moment, but they took a defensive tackle. They still don't have a quarterback. Like, all of these other franchises are looking really at the Chiefs and Eagles and going, damn, it must be nice. But it's like people have this jealousy, right? Like, the world is a meritocracy. The harder you work, the better position you're going to be in to have success. That's just a fact of the matter, right? And that's what the Chiefs and Eagles have done. And I'm obviously, I've got my shirt on, my Brett Veach down shirt. You know where I stand on this one. Howie Roseman is, I would consider him one of the better general managers in the NFL. But those two guys have worked their asses off to set their franchises up to be in this position. Other teams should try that. You know, and I go back to something that Joe Shane, the Giant GM's son, said on Hard Knocks when that last year. He's sitting there on the couch in the office with his dad and says, trade up for Jaden Daniels. You only get this opportunity one time to be a general manager. You should try winning, you know, and that's coming from a 14-year-old kid. And the Giants did that yesterday. And that's what the Chiefs have been doing since Andy Reid got here. They know this is a limited opportunity. Let's try winning. And everything that they do, they've built this franchise to win around Patrick Mahomes. And so they get that opportunity on draft day to not have to freak out and scream and yell and go, oh my God, we need this position, because they've set themselves up beautifully. This pick yesterday shows you just how good Brett Veach has been to set his franchise up to be able to pick the next and not have to pick the guy that we need today.
Bob said they just drafted Willie Rofe and all that.
Right, I hope, man. Like I'm excited. I love a good offensive line, man. Like, you have to have a good offensive line if you want to see this team have success. And this is the first left tackle I think we've all been kind of excited about. I think we were a little excited about Orlando Brown, right, when he came in.
But I was a lot excited.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Orlando Brown's like, all right.
Yeah, I think we were all pretty excited about the Orlando Brown
Fox
thing.
Tail.
You know, obviously that didn't pan out to be where it was, but hopefully this is the guy now that you put at that left tackle position, and we're never talking about this spot again as long as Patrick Mahomes is quarterback.
Bob mentioned earlier, shout out to the landing and Rob Maloney last night. It was a wonderful time. Thanks to all his staff and people that were there that set us up for success. It was a great time.
So good.
Big night tonight for the Chiefs as well. Go to the landing again tonight. Hell, might actually be able to park.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know Matt gave his keys to some guy who said he was the valet, so he hasn't gotten his car back, Maloney and De Palma and whoever else is up there running at the landing.
That was the story of the Chiefs last night, but we all know what the story of the draft last was tonight, and that was an empty couch and Shador Sanders. We'll get to that here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
It's Black Beats Town here in Kansas City. Oh, no, it's okay. Fair enough. It is, though. Kind of. Tonight's actually like, tonight's the capital city of Brett Beach Town. What is it, 65, 66, and 95?
That's right. 63, 66, 95.
Yeah.
66.
For now.
60, yeah, for now. Right. Who knows what they're going to do later
on today.
They got
Mac. I don't even know. They're going to get Mr. Irrelevant in the seventh round.
That's right. Yes, including Mr. Irrelevant. I'm excited for that.
That is kind of fun, though. Like, yeah. That gives you some sort of closure. Yeah, and it's for like sure. you get to close the book.
Yeah, it's right? Cool. It's fun. Yeah. And then you see if the guy makes the team. You know who was? I think, if Colquitt. I'm not mistaken, no, it was not Colquitt. It was Suckup. That's who. Harrison, what's his name?
Butker.
I was thinking Harrison Bader.
Butker was off Carolina's practice squad, Bob. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, but he could have been Chiefs Mr. Irrelevant back then for Carolina. I don't know if he was drafted or not, but he's a kicker. Mr. Irrelevant, Ryan Suckup. So we get the opportunity to have Mr. Irrelevant again. Somebody on the text line does not like Jay Binkley, you were saying this morning, saying this is why Binkley's on the radio and not an NFL GM. I've seen some NFL. Remember, Scott Pioli was an NFL GM, folks. Okay, so let's not put Jay Binkley and slander Jay Binkley. Oh, he's not an NFL GM. I've seen a lot of these guys that are NFL GMs that are now doing nothing in life. So back off Jay Binkley on this one. It's his opinion.
Yeah, it's like his opinion, man.
That's the thing about the draft. Like, everybody can have their opinion about it. I was talking to my friend Joe yesterday. He had opinions on a lot of things that we were talking about yesterday. He said something about who he wanted the Chiefs to draft, and I remember where he goes, but that's just my opinion. And I'm like, yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with your opinion on that, but we can have a nice conversation about it. It doesn't mean we have to hate each other. Like, everybody's going to have their opinion, and it's all going to come out in the wash. You were saying you had a buddy last night talking about, well, this guy could be a bust, and you're like, he could also be an all-pro, right? Yes. Like, we just don't know what these guys are going to be, and the fallacies of the draft grades that come out immediately after the draft, you just don't know what somebody's going to be like and how they're going to translate into the NFL and how the NFL is going to, you know, kind of accept them. And if they're willing to make the adjustments and become an NFL player, like, it's all on the player now, man. It really is, especially at a tackle position. It's on that guy to make sure he's not a bust in this league. And how many busts have the Chiefs drafted under Brett Veach?
I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go. Well,
yeah, but like, I mean,
how you consider yourself, what's a bust?
What's a bust? First or second round, probably.
I always give him two. I give him Clyde. I give him Breland.
That's it.
Maybe there's another one. Is there another one? What's the
Sky
other
Moore?
One? Oh, yeah, Sky.
So was he a second round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sky fine. Moore. But yeah, I mean, you still have won 3 Super Bowls and been to 5. Like, I mean, oh no. Yeah. Breland speaks.
Yeah. You can always find negatives. Just like you can always find positives, right?
Like, exactly.
Say Worthy, Rice, you know, Cree, Trey.
But people seemingly look for the negatives before they want to look for the positives, you know. I mean, you just continue to name the positives. Yeah. Please do. Because some people need to hear that.
Here's how I vote success for a GM. Have your positives outnumbered your negatives, and have they also severely outweighed your negatives?
Oh, God, yes.
Right? Like, did Clyde Edwards send you back 5 years?
No.
Did Sky Moore send you back 3 years?
No.
Could have, but didn't. And then people, you know, that also have that same negative mentality. Like, well, he got lucky with Worthy and Rice.
No, he didn't.
I mean, like, I don't know
people
if
people clown the Worthy pick. Yeah, man.
A lot of them did.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Too small. Can't, yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. People clown every pick.
How did he finish on the
though?
Team's receiver list this last year's rookie?
Pretty good. Yeah, he was number one, right? Yeah. So, but that's the thing. Like, you can clown these picks today. You can love up these picks today. We're not going to know anything until the season starts and how good these guys are going to be. And maybe in Josh Simmons' case, we won't know till this time next year how good this guy can potentially be, right? And that's good. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
And speaking of that, like, you guys saw Jack Caglione, or not yet?
No.
Okay. This is Mel Kiper on Shador Sanders.
Broncos are on the clock at number 20, and right now it's time for a look at Mel's Best Available, brought to you by Courtyard by Marriott.
Okay, got some good ones. Shador, I'm amazed right now that he's still on the board, as I was with Aaron Rodgers. New Orleans, hey, I'm going to wait and see who makes a move to get Shador Sanders before I start talking about those organizations that will haunt them.
Okay. Haunt them. It's going to haunt them. How much are the Sanders family paying Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yeesh.
I mean, we were at the landing for most of the draft, so it was hard to hear. I get home and I get a text from a buddy of mine. He's like, "Are you watching this?" I'm like, "Well, we just got back from the landing. I'm turning it on now." He goes, "Mel Kiper's really all over the Sanders family and like Shador's jock on this one, like just kind of being despondent over this whole thing." I'm like, "All right, whatever." I turned it on. I'm like, "Oh my God, you're right." And then you start to look around the interwebs and see what people are saying. Like everybody last night is like, "Is Mel Kiper in the back pocket of Deion Sanders and Shador Sanders on this one?" Because it really did feel like to me yesterday, Mel Kiper was taking Shador Sanders sliding personally, like it was a direct shot at him, and he was defensive every time somebody picked somebody that wasn't Shador Sanders yesterday. I just felt like that was an odd watch to see somebody like that on national television acting like they were personally slighted that Shador Sanders fell out of the first round.
No, it felt like he was against the consensus on Shador Sanders. All of the NFL and all of these analysts that we listen to and we look for some sort of, you know, knowledge from, we're kind of, Shador Sanders doesn't have the physical talents. The dad is kind of a hindrance on drafting, a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. Mel Kiper was the only one, and he was vehement the whole night. I mean, we got a text here mentioning Shador in the same sentence with Aaron Rodgers is insane. We've got another piece of audio there from Mel Kiper as well. He compares him to a lot of them. Yeah.
To make the aggressive.
Yeah,
move.
We always act like we're in the sixth round of the draft right now, and Shador Sanders hasn't been picked. No. And we're still where Lamar Jackson wasn't taken. And last time I checked the bottle already, Hayden Hurst, a 25-year-old tight end at the time out of South Carolina, tight end. And then they traded back into 32 to take Lamar Jackson. We're ready to pack it up at the end of day one and get ready for day two, right? There's Lamar Jackson. That list of the pocket pass. Johnny Unitas, cut by the Steelers, passed over, right? Nobody won it. Dan Marino passed over for Cal Davis and Ken O'Brien, right? Joe Montana went the third round. Kurt Warner, undrafted free agent. Peyton Manning, people have to look like Ryan Leaf over and put Phil Polian to take him number one overall. Matt Ryan. Jake Long went ahead of Matt Ryan. They took him so far, something for Chad Henne over Matt Ryan. Hockey guy, how'd that work out, right? Drew Brees, second round. Chargers, then Miami didn't take him. Goes to New Orleans, right? How'd that work out? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. They're all traditional drop back pocket passers. I didn't mention the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, sixth round pick.
Oh, so Brady was a sixth round pick. Was that Caliendo or was that Mel Kiper? Because that sounded like a spoof.
No, that was Drafula, baby.
That was Drafula.
He'd been in that casket all winter long waiting to get that take off.
I compared him to every, like, goat.
Johnny Unitas. Raise your hand if you were alive when Johnny Unitas played. Okay, you're going back into the way back machine.
He could be a Joe Montana.
When the NFL was not what it is today. It's, I mean, come on, man. Like that. Are you sure that wasn't Caliendo? Mm. Are we positive that wasn't Frank Caliendo doing his Mel Kiper?
What was worse, Mel Kiper ranting about quarterbacks in the past or that singer trying to hit the notes of Don't Stop Believing in
Kiper,
the background?
Kiper. Definitely,
I mean,
Kiper.
Good hell. Yeah. That had to have been Joey Bro doing karaoke back there.
But like the Shador Sanders stuff, man, obviously that's the top story of the day. It's going to be everywhere. That's all people are going to be talking about, and rightfully so. Everybody, for the most part, I would say, believed he was probably going to go 21 to Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh takes a defensive tackle, and Mike Tomlin's like, "We can't pass up a good talent." You know, just like typical Mike Tomlin. Uh-huh. We're kind of desperate. We needed this guy. Let's go. And they passed up the quarterback, Shador Sanders. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. Obviously, he's not as good as everybody thinks he is. Number two, you know, you kind of have to deal with the ancillary stuff that comes along with Shador Sanders that maybe a lot of NFL teams don't want to deal with. And they're, quite frankly, just better players on the board at that point in time. But the one thing that I do have a problem with is, like, all these folks that are, like, excited that Shador is slipping because they don't like his dad. And they're taking out the dislike of his dad on the kid. And I do have a little bit of a problem with that. Now, Shador wearing that necklace last night doesn't help, you know, him, you know, getting drafted and all the stuff that people were saying that he's, you know, too much of a show guy and all that kind of stuff before the draft. But anyway, I mean, like, I don't like people taking joy in watching this kid fall because they don't like his dad or something of that nature. Because I do feel bad for Shador Sanders that he was kind of put up into this spotlight and then didn't get picked yesterday and has to be there and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. It sucks. It really does. Like, the human nature side of things for me just sucks.
That's fair.
I don't know if I feel bad for him. I think this is great for him. Mm. I think this is one of those things that when you put yourself in this position, where, you know, you make it about you a lot of the times, and that's fine, right? You're a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You were on a flashy team that had a flashy swag, and, you know, you had all this sort of hype going into the draft before the season started, and then the season played out, and all of a sudden it's no longer college, man. It's like, this is the pros. This is where, like, big decisions happen. This is, you know, college was really fun for us, and then we got into this building, and that horseplay doesn't exist. Yeah. Like, you don't get to just show up a minute before your class and be like, all right, what are we doing today? It's like, nah, man, like, you have duties, you have responsibilities. You are going to be now judged as a, you know, adult. You're no longer a student. And, you know, Shedeur Sanders, look, man, like, you put yourself in that position. You want to be this guy. You want to be the, I'm, you know, I'm not arrogant. I'm good. There's a reason why I'm going to the, you know, I'm going to be this player. And you didn't get drafted in the first round. And maybe this is something that, you know, now he'll be getting away from his father in college and playing for a professional team. He'll be drafted probably tonight, more than likely tonight. And now you have a chance and legitimately can say you have a chip on your shoulder where you've never been able to say that your whole life. Your entire life, you've been on the best team. You've had Dion as your dad. You got to do whatever, whenever you wanted. Now you're in the real world, kid. And now you know what it's like to kind of be knocked down a peg. Either this is going to derail him or this is going to make him change in life and be this guy that's like, you know what? We see a video on Fox Sports, you know, before a football game and he's sitting down with Tom Rinaldi or whoever the hell is at Fox Sports at that time. And they're like, tell us about what draft day meant to you. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, it was humbling. It was really, you know, you go from Colorado being the man, you know, flashing the watch and being the, you know, the hype guy to, you know, watching your best friend get drafted number two overall in a historic trade. And then you kind of see yourself fall. And you got to give this speech to your family. Like, we didn't expect this. Maybe this is where he rebuilds his new career, a new start. And it couldn't be a better thing for him. Or, you know, like we do, like we just did. He could either be all pro or he could be a bust. He could either be a guy that's in the league and goes from being Deion's son to that Shedeur Sanders or his, you know, remember when Deion's son was going to be that guy? Now with the cards in his hands and he's got to take a 7-2 in Texas Hold'em and try to win the pot.
And if this really does affect him and he's not able to get over this, then he was never an NFL quarterback anyway.
Sure.
And that's kind of the way that I view this, right? Like this should not be something that gets in the way of you achieving your dream of being that NFL quarterback. If you were going to be a good NFL quarterback, you're going to be a good NFL quarterback, whether you're the first round pick or you're a second round pick. And so the other thing that this does, and I kind of like your take on that too, he's never going to be called a bust now. I mean, at least in my opinion, you're not a first round quarterback. So first round quarterbacks are the ones that achieve success, it seems like, in the NFL, other than Tom Brady, you know, the outlier there.
Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, right. I'm talking current day. Okay.
Kurt Warner was undrafted. Yeah. You know, he was throwing lettuce heads at a grocery store.
Right, exactly. He's working at Hy-Vee. God love him, right?
Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
Harvard, right. Like, but I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a great long
I envy his career.
I do too. I was trying to think of the right word to use.
Him and Chase Daniel
are two of the best.
Yeah.
Two of the best who have ever played the game because they never played and they made good money. And that's what it's all about, man. Take a back seat, hold the clipboard, make $8 million a year, right? Great job. And so Shedeur Sanders now, to me, he will never have to overcome being that first round pick and having that bust label attached to him. He can just go be a football player now. And so you may be right about that. This may be the best thing that happened to him because now he doesn't have the hype of having to go into Pittsburgh and being the franchise changing quarterback there. He can be drafted now by a team and be allowed to be just a guy. And he hasn't been allowed to be that guy because of who his dad is and because of everything that goes along with being Deion's kid, right? Now he has the opportunity, whatever team drafts him, go in there and be humble and be that backup guy and be the best teammate you can be. And eventually you'll move up that line. But you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to be humbled. And maybe this is the best thing for him. Maybe if he got drafted in the first round, he doesn't get humbled. He goes into an organization and maybe it doesn't work. And maybe the humbling of this kid, or any of us for that matter, anytime you're humbled, you're like, you know, you get that humbling experience. Maybe this is the one that maybe is the best thing for him. And he will look back, and you're right, Dusty, look back and go, best thing for me was not being a first round draft pick, man.
Understanding failure is the one thing that you got to know, because we're all going to fail. It just, you know,
it happens. I mean, look at baseball, right? Like you fail 70% of the time and you're a Hall of Famer. And they always say in baseball, it's not how you deal with the success. It's how you deal with failure. And you learn more from your fails than you do from your successes. I tell this to my kids all the time. And they're like, yeah, you're right about that, which is awesome to hear because you never hear you're right as a father. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, you're right. I learn more when things don't go my way. I'm like, exactly. You learn what you did wrong. You learn not to make that same mistake again. And hopefully for Shador, he's learned that, okay, I got to be humble and I just got to go in there and be a football player and not put the spotlight on me. Just like Patrick did when he was drafted. Remember when Patrick was drafted and everybody wanted to already sign him to endorsements? He goes, I'm not doing any endorsements. I'm not doing anything for the first year. I'm just going to be this guy that came in. And then look at what he was able to do because of that, right?
You gamble on yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you got Coors Light, Oakley, Adidas, BioSteel. gets to play at Lake of the Ozarks golf course every once. We'll see. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys ever had this happen to you. Did you ever move schools like when you understood school? Like not like if you were in kindergarten or like third mm-hmm. grade.
Oh yeah. Like no. After freshman year of high school, I moved from
that
Tennessee.
That sucks.
Kansas to Tennessee.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Because that's the analogy that I have for Shador Sanders. Like Shador Sanders went from being like very well known and popular in his school, and now he's got to move schools. Yeah. He can still be the cool popular guy, but he's got to start over. He's got to gain it. He's got to earn it. He's got to be now like, okay, he's cool. Like, you know, hoping that when people come talk to him, they're not like, what's it like being Deion's kid? It's more so like, so what was it like, you know, going through college, like at Colorado Jackson State? They want to know more about him than they want to know about other things. And you got to rebuild that. And he's moving schools. Like, and in a weird analogy, he's going from, you know, having a group of friends, having all these people, to moving across the state and having to go to a school that he doesn't know anybody and no one really cares that they don't know him. And
that's exactly right. Nobody cares and anymore. Now you're in the NFL.
Because you might be on a team that has Myles Garrett.
Right.
And Myles Garrett is the guy. And you're going to walk in as fresh meat, man. And it's like Nick Chubb's there. May not be who he was, but Nick Chubb's there. And he's miles ahead of you. And, you know, you walk in, you know, maybe a little battered after the draft. Mm-hmm. But, hey, look, I thought I said it. I didn't think he was going to go in the first round after seeing what people were saying. I saw that, you know, they didn't like him in interviews. Maybe he goes back and reflects on that. Like, yeah, I was probably a little cocky.
Yeah.
I probably would have been, you know, better off if I answered questions differently. Or, man, I really need to work on something before I could even be seen as a serious person in the NFL. Because, again, this is the best of the best of the best, sir.
Right.
Like in the NFL. This is where men go to play the sport. There's a reason why we were glued to a TV last night watching grown men come out on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why
yeah.
we stayed up when we said we wouldn't till pick 32 is in. Because it's dominant, because the best of the best play in this league. And like we have mentioned before, in college, you look great. Reggie Bush analogy. You're the best athlete on a field that has maybe four other athletes that will make it to the next level on that field. You get to the next level, everybody was that athlete on that field. You know, whether they play safety, whether they play D tackle, whether they play linebacker, whatever it may be, they were one of the best at that level that made it to the next level. So now Shador, after all this has happened, and you were the guy in Colorado and Jackson State, it was fun. Party time's over, and you got hit right in the face with the reality check last night.
The reality check was big.
And it's not necessarily rude or mean or, you know, distasteful, but like, again, you can get broken to 1,000 pieces and build yourself up even stronger than you were before. And that's interesting because it was the story and it will continue to be the story until he's taken.
You know, the athletes in my experience doing this job for as long as I have, my experience is the athletes that are willing to adjust and change and realize that they're now on the same level of everybody else. Those are the guys that have the success. The guys who want to fight it and still do everything that they were used to doing because they've always dominated, those are the ones that fail. Because as you mentioned, man, like at this level, everybody's the greatest player at their high school. Everybody's probably the greatest player on their college team. And now you're in with everybody else who's all on the same level that you're at. So what are you going to do to get yourself above all of those guys? Are you going to be willing to put in that work? And a lot of these guys that get into the professional ranks don't understand how to work and how to get better because they've never had to. It's not their fault. They've just been better than everybody else. So they could just go out there and out-talent you and out-slug you and out-hit you and all that kind of stuff. And then they get on the same level where everybody's as good or better than they are, and they have this, oh, my God, moment. I what do I do? And that's how you have to go back to the drawing board and reinvent yourself. Are you willing to do that? Are you able to do that? And the sooner you can realize that as a professional athlete, I think the better off that you're going to be. You can't be stubborn, MJ.
Wow. You guys want to get to the bottom of this?
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
Let's ask Jay Binkley if he still hates that pick on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Don't like it.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, we're living here in Brettfeed's town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more. And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays. We need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeech Town.
They now shot Simmons, offensive tackle.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Jay, buddy,
Jay!
Do explain, sir, why the negative mindset, sir.
Well, you know what? I'm just being honest. I mean,
that's fine.
You know, I could fake it. There's going to be a lot of media reports in this town, and people like to pick. And I'm just giving you my honest opinion. Matter of fact, I could ask 10 people what Josh Simmons' number was at Ohio State, and 9 of them would be wrong.
71.
Yeah, you got it right.
So at least 8 will be wrong now.
I said 10 people.
Right.
Eight of them,
and we're wrong. 2 of them, so now 8 would be wrong on that one.
Okay, but then what professional sport did his father play?
Now we're getting to this sort of stuff.
Basketball. He was Arthur Simmons that played for the Boston Celtics back in the day.
No, his dad does a podcast. His dad's name's Bill.
And his San Diego State days.
Yeah. Oh, nice. All right. So,
how big is his dad's arms?
You came in guns ablaze, and Brett Veach doesn't take Ohio State. And doesn't take Big Ten. Right there, he took that guy. And here's why
I didn't say Big Ten, because they have taken Big Ten, Karloftis and stuff like that. I said Ohio State.
The other schools really don't count. It's Ohio State and everybody else in that conference, Jay. Let's not kid ourselves, okay?
Well, you know what? Bobby's such an Ohio State legend. He only played 6 games this year and didn't play the playoffs or the title game.
Well, sometimes that happens. And guys get injured and they're not able to play, and then they get into the big leagues or they get into the NFL, and they're just fine. Like, this is a pick for the future more than it is for anything. And so from that standpoint, I do like it. And all the guys on ESPN, not that their opinion is any better than yours, but watching those guys last night, you know, the Lou Riddicks of the world or whatnot, they're like, this would have been a top 10 pick if he wasn't injured.
He would have been. I remember all the ESPN people trashing and crapping on the Mahomes pick. I remember sitting there doing a post-game show when people were saying I was an idiot. He's never going to work out, and they missed on Deshaun Watson. I remember sitting there for that. So a lot of people are wrong when it comes to the draft.
Most people are wrong, Jay, when it comes to the draft, right? Like, the majority of people, the majority of takes, and the majority of conversation about these players in the draft, everybody's, you know, wrong on this, because it's hard to be right, because you're factoring in humans and how they want to adjust to the NFL.
I hope I'm right, Bob. I hope I'm right. I mean, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that Brett Veach schooled the Eagles for a 5th-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Chiefs were going to take Jod Campbell anyway.
Right, but I think what Howie Roseman said after that pick, they thought somebody else was going to jump the Chiefs and get that guy. So that's why they wanted to go ahead and do that.
Well, some of that makes sense, but it doesn't. I mean, they do have like 3 6th-round picks or 3 5th-round picks for left, the Eagles do, so maybe they have too many guys to pay and they didn't want to do it. But yeah, I think it was great the Chiefs got back in to that 5th-round with that draft pick. They're just not wild about it. I mean,
that's fine.
You know, the Chiefs brought him in for a top 30 visit. I get it. They looked at him. They obviously were happy with where he was. I will say this, 31 other NFL teams decided to pass on him. He almost got out of the 1st round. For a guy, like you said, that was left tackle 1 going into the season, there's a lot of people had some doubts. The patellar tendon is kind of a rare injury. That is not an injury that people have come back from right away. I mean, it takes a while, especially when you have surgery on it. To that point, it is not injury in the NFL that they're used to dealing with.
So, Jay, who would you have taken at number 32 then if you don't like this pick?
I would have gone Luther Burden.
Okay.
Sitting out there, I mean, because the offensive line, I don't think you get a real true tackle unless you move up. Unless the Chiefs got to bargain him. I know why they got him. They got him because clearly without the injury, he was probably going to be way out of their range, price range to get had he not been hurt. But they got the Ferrari that was in a car wreck, and it's been fixed up, and hopefully it's ready to go, and the Chiefs can fix that problem. I do think it is interesting, and when people think it's a joke about the short arms, Andy Reid's never drafted a left tackle under 34-inch arms. It's never happened. Like, this is a first. And I did mention they have bent on that a little bit because Jalen Moore doesn't have 34-inch arms, but they went and signed him in free agency. So it is something they have done. I would have gone Burden. All the talk with the Chiefs about being wide open and throwing the ball downfield, I would say, all right, they're going to go for some offensive skill positions. I don't mind the tackle. Trust me, I don't mind the tackle. I just thought that might have been a reach. When Ursary sitting out there from Minnesota at left tackle, that I thought would have been fine for the Chiefs instead of Simmons, but this is the direction they go. But I saw a playmaker sitting there in Luther Burden that I hope they would have gone with.
So, Binkley, let's talk about tonight. As night one is in the books, we get back to pick 33. The Chiefs right now have three picks. What's the strategy tonight for Jay Binkley if you are Mr. Brett Veach?
Well, hopefully running back is one of them. Such a deep running back draft. Hopefully Dylan Sampson at Tennessee is an option. Maybe Josh Farmer on defensive tackle now. Mm-hmm. Florida State, since they go offensive line with that first pick, hopefully they address defensive line. I really like Josh Farmer in that could be late second round, early third round, unless team really falls in love with him and drafts him earlier in the second. I can't rule out that Brett Veach doesn't trade up in the second round.
Mm. If he did that, where do they go?
So unless there's a run on running backs starts to happen and some of the good running backs are starting to fall off the board, I could see the Chiefs saying, all right, this is the time to go out and get them. If the Dylan Sampson of the world start, you know, falling off the board, they move up to get him. Luther Burden certainly is an interesting guy that's still out there for the Kansas City Chiefs. If they want to go to the wide receiver group, kind of the – I think Luther Burden's still in that first grouping of wide receivers. Mm-hmm. But if they still want to get that, they can move up. But hopefully it's a running back and wide receiver today.
You mentioned that a lot of teams passed on Josh Simmons. A lot of teams passed on Luther Burden. Is there any indication of why that is?
It's weird. Maybe just being a true slot guy people didn't want. I don't know. I think Luther Burden is going to be a good NFL player. I saw the same thing happen with Cooper Kupp when he kept sliding in the draft as well, and he became a Super Bowl MVP. So teams do get it wrong at times. I like Luther Burden. I liked him at the beginning of the year. A lot of people liked Luther Burden. Matt Miller thought he was the best wide receiver in the draft. I 100% agree with that. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. The wide receiver position just, you know, people didn't jump on it with the 7 first-round picks like last year. I do expect a lot of that to happen on day two.
Jay, what do you expect for Shedeur Sanders that he fell out of the first round now? Where do you think, A, where do you think he's going? And B, were you surprised to see him fall out of the first round?
I think he's going to be a Cleveland Brown. They have two picks in the next 4 picks. So they pick the first pick in the second round and the fourth pick in the second round. So I think that there could be Shedeur Sanders there. And I think, 40th pick, he could go. I hope he picked tonight. I do believe. I mean, who knows? I do think the guy's talented. I think people were kind of worried about a lot of the other things that were involved, maybe too cocky, didn't interview well or whatever. Who cares? I just know the guy was sacked 152 times, didn't have a running game or an offensive line, and still was good. But not a lot of teams like the Browns. I think the Browns could get him in one of their top 4 picks here in the second round.
Does that spell success for him, though, going to Cleveland?
No.
No.
I don't think anything spells success for playing quarterback in Cleveland. There's a reason why that mannequin in that downtown has every quarterback's name they've drafted.
Yeah.
Who won night one of the draft?
Oh, it's hard to say. I like the fact that Atlanta traded back in the first round. I know some people are going to be hesitant, but going out and getting two edges like they did, Atlanta saw a need and said, hey, we got to get to the quarterback. We need to be able to do this, and they went out and did it. As far as the AFC West teams, I like what Denver did. When running backs go to Raiders and with the Chargers, Denver's like, all right, how do we stop the Chiefs? How do we stop this Chiefs run? Let's bulk up our secondary. Let's put Patrick Sertan on one side and Jahdae Barron on the other. So if you want to get to Mahomes, it's about stopping the Chiefs. They do what the Eagles did, and even though they didn't blitz the Chiefs, they got to them with their front. So if you want to stop elite quarterbacks like that, it's with pass pressure or pass rush pressure, and it's with cornerbacks shutting them down. So I actually think Denver did the right thing there.
You think, though, the Chiefs are going to allow themselves to ever get beat again like they did against the Philadelphia Eagles, or is that the all offseason? Everybody's going to take that Philadelphia playbook. Don't you think the Chiefs are going to counteract that this offseason and say this is not happening again?
I think they will. I mean, it does happen. It happened to them in the Buccaneers game, where Mahomes is running for his life, so they decided to rebuild that offensive line. It happened again. I'm sure it'll happen again down the future, but that Philadelphia defense was something special. That pass rush and what they did in the Super Bowl was special. None of the AFC teams could figure it out. Philadelphia certainly did.
Well, Binkley, rest those vocal cords as you get back at it on Saturday for a long day of NFL draft coverage. Last night was great. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you next week, brother.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I wasn't wild about the pick, but you know what, though? That happens.
Yeah. Hey, people's minds can change, and you're one that I believe
in. Are you inviting people over to the house tonight since the Royals are playing? Do it like a live draft show for certain people?
Shirtless.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I may do that, yeah.
All right, Binkley, get some rest, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Jay.
That is Jay Binkley, our draft insider.
Big fan of the pick.
Yeah. Don't like it.
Funny text at the top. Yesterday was Christmas for Binkley. He opened up his gift and he got socks.
Yeah, well, that's a great gift. The older you get, socks, man. I love socks. It's like going trick-or-treating and somebody gives you an apple or a toothbrush. Yeah.
Give me the candy.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, embrace the heel. That's what this man's doing. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.